fellowship with us. Amen. 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 Give yourself a hand clap.
Hallelujah.
Well, I boldly declare once again, Father, that I'm crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I who live, but Christ that lives in and through me. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in your sight, dear Father. Jesus, you took me to the cross with you, and there I died, and it's no longer Claude, but it's Jesus using this body. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, as along with the other believers today, we are the body of the anointed one, Jesus, the Soma. We are here to glorify you, so Father, I'm asking you, awaken us, oh God. Awaken us to righteousness today, Father God, that we don't sin, meaning we don't miss what you have originally intended us to partake of, oh God. I thank you that, Lord God, we're no longer strangers or aliens. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over Satan and every evil work, every lie, every condemning spirit, every mind-binding tactic and strategy of the enemy right now. And Father, let the word of God have free course and free reign. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible with me to Luke chapter 4. In gospel rap, we call this the Luke chapter 4 experience. This is something that Minister Gerard and I came up with. The Luke chapter 4 experience. Amen. We believe that every person will be tested with this experience. Amen. Every person. Every person is tested with glory. Every person is tested with power. Every person is. But I want to bring out something today to show you why you're tested in those areas. We're continuing on the series called The Seven Pillars of a Successful Believer. As I said before, amen, that these pillars are not the only pillars in the Word of God that will make you successful. There's probably hundreds more, amen. We have 66 books of the Bible, you know, thousands upon thousands of promises from God, you know what I mean? But these seven pillars right here is what kept me going for 20 years. Amen. And these pillars I've drawn from other men of God that have mentored me and that have pastored me, you know, through time on me spending with them, questioning them, and at the same time watching their lifestyle. Amen. Now, you need to know something. And I say this all the time at this ministry. Whoever you hang around with, you will eventually become like. You can't hang around knuckleheads and think that you're going to get the benefits of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, people just don't change because God just goes and changes you. Doesn't happen like that. The word of God says in Romans chapter 12, this right here. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world or to the system of this world, but be ye transformed, Greek word metamorpho, which means to associate with and become like or be fashioned by. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You and I are a direct reflection of how we talk and how we think. Come on, somebody say amen. You could be raised up on the wrong side of the tracks. And I'm going to show you a side of worship today that you've never seen. We could be raised up on the wrong side of the tracks, wrong side of the neighborhood, adopted out, parents disowned you, and you could become a great success based upon what you think and what you speak. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Now, based upon what I just told you, you have no room to blame anybody else for where you are. Do you know that the law of attraction states that if you can create an atmosphere whereby you are talking the right things and thinking the right things, you will attract the right people to you. You will attract the right circumstances to you. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. So if that law is correct, which it is correct, because just like the law of gravity, amen, the law of gravity says if you jump off the building, you will fall and hit the ground. Amen. The law of gravity also says that if you have drag and you have thrust and you're in the airplane, you can eliminate that law of gravity because another law kicks in. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The law of association says whoever you hang around with, you become like. If you want to be a good basketball player, you got to hang around Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant. Amen. You want to be a good football player, you got to hang around with R.J. Smith. He might get you on the field and get beat up by a bunch of young guys that look like Mutombo. Amen. Praise God. I hope that kid come to our church because I'm going to get him back. I'm going to preach some hard stuff at him. That kid hit me hard. My poor thumb is still hurting. That kid hit me hard, man. Lord, have mercy. I wasn't scared of nothing. Amen. But see, just like natural laws, when those natural laws are in operation, you have spiritual laws that are in operation. You know what I mean? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's a spiritual law, Proverbs 23 and 7. It's a spiritual law. So that means that you could be in the worst situation ever and you can think your way out of it. Come on, somebody say amen. You can think your way out of it. You can be in the worst situation ever and you can talk your way out of it. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, what? Death or life is in the power of the tongue. Word power meaning the authority of the tongue. But it also means the direction of the tongue. Your tongue directs you wherever you go.
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, see, a lot of people don't want to embrace this as truth, but it is truth. Amen. Psychologically, there's three determinisms that make every person up on who they are. Amen. And if you will operate in those things, amen, guess what? You can be anointed and changed in everything God called you to be. Amen. Yeah, I told somebody story about the three lepers. I'm going to my word today. But I was telling them about the three lepers. You know, the whole situation was they thought that they were defeated. But the whole time, the enemy had already been defeated. See, there's some people standing outside the gates of their prosperity, outside the gates of their healing, outside the gates of that marriage you've been looking for. Come on, somebody say amen. You're standing on the outside. Only reason why you're there because you're thinking you're defeated before you got started. But you need to change the way you're talking and start saying something like, why should I sit here lest I die? Let us go over to the other side. Amen. Amen. The seven pillars. The first one is reverence. Somebody say reverence. Small recap on reverence. Reverence is godly fear. Godly fear. Somebody say godly fear. If you're going to be a person that is pursuing potential and purpose in the kingdom of God, you have to be a person of reverence. If you don't know how to submit to those that are in authority over you, you will never accomplish anything great. Come on, somebody say amen. Listen, if you don't know how to submit to the local church and pastors, I got to say this. You'll go from one church to the next one, 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 to the next one. If you don't know how to submit to police officers, you get arrested. I know because I got arrested a whole lot of times. Amen. Can I be honest with you? The law of attraction worked on me like that. I haven't got a ticket personally in probably about 5 years. You know why I haven't got a ticket? I'm going to tell you why. Because when I used to think a certain way about police officers, and I still have to crucify that. Somebody say amen. I crucify that. But because I was primarily raised 3/4 of my life in Detroit, Michigan, I seen some garbage. Amen. I seen some garbage, Malice Green and other stuff that happened. So it gave me a bad perception of police officers. So whenever I seen them, I would always hide. Listen. See, some people don't have that. But when I be in the car, I be relaxing. You know, I be driving my whip. I be relaxing. But when I seen the police officer, because it's the way I thought about them. Come on. I always thought that they would stereotype me and pull me over and give me a ticket because I thought that I attracted that to me. But now because I'm fresh to death. No, hear what I mean. God has changed my life. I'm a different person now. I think differently now. I could stand up and look at a police officer in his eyes and talk to him like I'm on his level because I'm not intimidated. I told you last week that when you face God, you shouldn't have a problem facing a man. I'm not telling you to disrespect the man, but I'm just telling you how things happen so things have changed a little bit. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I still got some goof-ups in my life. I really do. Sometimes I still say things. You know, I'm still working on some things, you know. Amen. Praise God. But, I mean, everybody is, right? Reverence. You have to learn how to reverence God and people. And remember, the most important thing about reverence, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves unto one another out of fear of God. But the actual one of the other versions says, out of reverence for God. So here's what I teach marriages. If your reverence cup is full, your submission cup will be full. If your reverence cup is empty, your submission cup will be empty. So if a person can't submit to somebody in authority, it's because they don't reverence God. Now, see, a real pastor will tell you that you cannot say that you reverence God if you can't reverence a man.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So you have to learn how reverence operates. I taught the leadership class today that God starts at the head. Then he goes down. And then at the end of the skirts, he commands the blessing in life evermore. But you have to do it in order. He starts at the head, then the beard, then down to the skirts. That means that God does things decently and in order. God is not out of order. Come on, somebody say that. God's not out of order. Amen. So you got to learn how to reverence those in authority, even when it hurts you. Why? Because you do it as unto the Lord. You have to honor them. Amen. See, when people go around talking about pastors and presidents and apostles, and did you hear what this pastor did? Did you hear what that pastor did? You don't have no reverence. I think somebody in the body of Christ got it, because when that thing happened with Bishop Eddie Long, we heard it all for like 1 week or so. I don't know what's going on with it now, but I'm not trying to get on the internet to see if he did it or not. I'm trying to pray for him. Because you know what? The only difference between him and I, if he did do it, is the grace of God that's on my life. Something happened. The difference between me and a person that murders is the grace of God on my life. The difference between you and a person that's a chronic alcoholic is the grace of God on your life. Amen. So we can't stand up and be holier than thou. Amen. Somebody say reverence.
Reverence.
The second one is worship. That's what we're teaching on today. The second one is worship. The third one is praise. Somebody say praise.
Wow.
The fourth pillar is giving. Tell your neighbor, say giving.
Giving.
Well, tell your neighbor, say neighbor, I'm like God.
I'm like God.
Well, let's see if you're like God. For God so loved the world that he.
Giving.
God is what? He's a giver. Amen. So if you're not a giver and you're just a hoarder, guess what? You're not like God.
That's right.
Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, the Bible commands you to be like God. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God as dear children. The word imitator in the Greek means to mime, to mimic, to act like. So when you see God do something, you should say, I want to be just like my daddy. He loved that person even though they cussed him out, so I'm going to go love him. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The fifth one is the anointing. My God. If you're going to be a successful Christian, a lot of people think the anointing is just for the fivefold office. The anointing is not just for pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers. The anointing is for housewives.
Amen.
Hey, if you're going to be a good mother, you better be anointed.
Amen.
If you're going to raise kids, you better be anointed. The anointing is for the janitor. Amen. Hey, you want to clean toilets, you better be anointed. You want to build somebody's house, you better be anointed. You got to be anointed to walk your dog nowadays because he'll pee on you. Amen. You need to be anointed. Listen, you cannot be married for any length of time without the anointing. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because you got floozy Susie trying to get at you. And bicep Bob trying to get at you. It's the anointing that's going to help you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say meditation.
Meditation.
You have to meditate the word of God. You got to chew on the word of God. You got to eat, sleep, and breathe it. And then the last one, the final one, is confession. It's the Greek word homologio. It means to say what God says. Amen? Amen. Y'all got those? Let's read them back. What's the first one? Second one? Third one? Fourth one? Fifth one? Sixth one, seventh one. That will make you a successful believer. Now let's go into the second one. Worship. Somebody say worship.
Worship.
First thing I want you to know is tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Satan wants your worship. Tell him, say neighbor. Satan wants your worship. Now, just to help people that may be thinking religiously what worship is, I'm going to help you out. Let's read it. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Help me to get past this scripture, Holy Ghost. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. The devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word of God. Man does not live by bread alone. I want you to focus on this word alone for a minute, because I feel the Spirit of God pulling on me. See, the word alone is a compound word. Two words, all one. Now, that means that God didn't want you to live off of bread, which speaks of natural sustenance. He wants you to live off of his word. So not only do you need three meals and you need how many ounces of water per day in order to live and survive naturally, 64 ounces of water. You also need God's word in order to live. See, mankind has been living upside down. We've been living outside in rather than inside out. We pay more attention to natural sustenance rather than spiritual sustenance. Amen. And the world prides us when we accomplish things naturally. But you need to understand that there is a natural wisdom and then there is a spiritual wisdom. Are you catching what I'm saying? There's the way the world lives and then there's the way the believers live. Amen. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom. Because guess what? The kingdom operates off of the currency of faith. And faith is born and built out of the word on the inside of a believer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why Jesus said here in the scripture, man does not live by bread only, but by every word. So you're lopsided if you put more attention on the bread side. And the word side is down here. Then some people get in church and they put the word side up here and put the bread side down here. And then they be called so heavenly minded that we do no earthly good. We need a balance. Somebody say we need a balance. We're going somewhere. We need a balance. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me. Somebody say, if thou wilt therefore worship me. He said, all shall be thine. Listen to Jesus' response in verse 8. He answered and said unto him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. I want you to see that worship and service is tied together. See, the devil asked for Jesus' worship, but Jesus had enough sense to recognize that the devil didn't just want his worship. The devil wanted his service. Because worship equals service. Are you catching what I'm saying here? See, if the devil can get your worship, he'll have your service. And see, your service is what makes your family good or bad. Your service is what makes your employment good or bad. It's what makes whatever you do in life good or bad. You know, like we go to Walmart, they specialize in customer service. See, literally, to have your worship is to have you. Now, let me give you another version of this right here. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9. It's a little bit different language in this one here. The same situation. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9. Look what the devil says to him here. See, over there he says, if you will worship me. But he gets specific over here in verse 9 in Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Verse 8, the devil taketh him up into the exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if you will what? Fall down and worship me. I want you to circle fall down. See, literally what he was asking Jesus to do is to get prostrate, to lay down. If you understand what being prostrate or walking in humility actually means, it means to abase oneself. It means to think lower than you ought to about yourself. See, what the devil wanted Jesus to do is to not see himself as the Son of God. He wanted him to see him as being dependent upon Satan. See, the devil has pitched that lie to mankind since Genesis chapter 3. That's why he told them in the garden before they fell. He said, listen, if you eat of this, you're going to become like God. But had he had enough sense, Adam, he would have knew that Genesis 1 and 26 said, and God said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion. See, mankind already had dominion. You better catch what I'm saying. We didn't lose dominion out here like some supernatural thing happened out here. We lost dominion right here. See, we changed the way we thought about ourselves. We fell down. And see, when we fell down, we start thinking that we needed something other than what we already had on the inside of us. We carried the grace of God, the glory of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God, the life of God, all that God is in us, to us, and through us. The first man, Adam, walked in the sum total of all that God ever would be. You better catch what I'm saying. That's what the Bible called Jesus, the last Adam. Why did they call him the last Adam? Because guess what? Ain't nobody coming after Jesus. And all of mankind is summed up into two different men, the first man Adam or the last man Adam. If you're still thinking like the first man Adam, you're going to always fall down in your thinking. But if you think like the last man, you'll walk on the water. If you think like the... You'll run out of food and you'll find a little kid with a Star Wars lunchbox and lay hands on it and feed the whole city. When you start... They never say, the devil wants you to fall down. My God. Whew. Y'all gonna make me preach. I'm trying to teach, man. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, worship. It's a spiritual thing. You know why worship is spiritual? Because, see, God wants you to worship him, to face him, because the more you see him, you become like him. Come on. See, God is limited. He's limited in everything that, unlimited in everything that he does. Amen? That's why whenever you get around God, you begin to see things bigger than what they really are. You get in the presence of God, you begin to feel like you cannot be stopped. See, that's why I told you, RJ, on the Facebook that you are the man. Because guess what? You are the man. And guess what? That veil going to be removed and you're going to see yourself the way God sees you. Ain't nobody going to be able to stop you. Come on, somebody say amen. See, the devil will only keep you bound in a little bitty box that you're in while you're thinking the way you're thinking. But the minute you start elevating your thinking and get up off that ground of falling down and start worshiping God, guess what? All the things that are around you that are bondage and holding you and keeping you from being free and liberated, baby, those things gonna break. Matter of fact, I'm gonna prophesy right now. You cannot stay sick. You cannot stay broke. You cannot stay where you are. The Lord is saying, take up your bed and walk. Get up off your butt. Quit laying down crying. Throw that tissue box down. Amen. Hang that cell phone up. Quit texting everybody telling them what you can't do, baby. You better get on Facebook, start talking about what you can do. I can. Amen. See, that's why the devil wants your worship, because once he gets your worship, you are blinded from seeing who you are. But when God got your worship, guess what? That veil is removed. My God. Not only do you see God, but then you see you in Christ Jesus. Seated in heavenly places, far above principality, power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Glory to God. I don't know if you know this, but did you know that Jesus is the supreme ruler of the universe? Not just earth, the universe. And then the Bible said he's the head over all things pertaining to the church. Then the Amplified says that the church is his body, the fullness of him that fills all of the world with all of God. And if you are in Christ, you don't just rule on earth. Baby, you rule in the universe. Because you're in Christ. See, that's why you can have power in both worlds. That's why you can work here on earth, but then you can go into your prayer time. And then you can be like, beam me up, Scotty. And then all of a sudden, now you touching heaven. And you hearing from heaven. Over here, listen. Over here, they saying recession, depression, sickness, death. But you done went over here and said, beam me up, Scotty. And you done heard something new from God. I was with somebody the other day and they told me nobody's buying houses no more. Well, guess what? Lord, elevate our minds so we can buy up all the houses. Come on, somebody say amen. You don't buy it with money, you buy it with faith. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Whenever God asks you to do something, he always asks you to do something you can't do in your natural. I'm talking to somebody. Why? Because if you could do it in your natural, then you can explain it. But when God does it for you, somebody say, how'd you do that? I don't know. I don't know. The psalmist said it must have been the Lord's doing, and it's good. Ain't that right, mama? Tell the devil, say, devil, you cannot have my worship. See, if he gets your worship, he can get your service. Turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to prove it to you right quick. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. See, the devil has held us captives for far too long. We the body of Christ. We are anointed. We've been chosen. My God, we got multimillionaires in this place. Yeah. You got to hear what I'm saying. See, people make everything too spiritual. You need to understand something. God made that man in his image and gave him dominion over all the earth. All the earth. That means we should be owning McDonald's. We should be owning Taco Bell. We should be owning Synergy or whatever these factories are. Because guess what? If we own them, we can be like the owner of Chick-fil-A. My people ain't going to work on Sunday. But see, as long as they are in charge, let me just help y'all a little bit. Y'all remember that movie, Coming to America?
Yeah.
You remember the guy? He came in there and he had the mop and he was mopping. He was like, one day I'll be the fry guy. See, you ain't going to have dominion with a fry guy mindset. I'm trying to show you something. As long as evil is in authority, righteousness can't reign. But when the righteous get in authority, the Bible say the people will rejoice. Come on now. Who's the righteous? You and I. See, you need to start the business, Moses. Y'all need to do that. Because the favor of God is on you. I'm trying to tell you something. The favor of God is on you. When you got Jesus in your life, here's what the devil does. I'm going to help you out. This is what the devil does. Can I speak prophetically? See, this is what the devil does. You get born again, then the devil comes at you with all kind of laws and rules and regulations. Come on, somebody say amen. The second thing he does, he keeps you away from the anointed word. Huh? Get you somewhere where they reading pews. I mean, sitting on hard pews and reading hymnals and stuff like that. And you ain't hearing nothing from God. No disrespect. But guess what? What the devil wants to do is the devil wants to keep you in bondage. So you're born again, but you're not going anywhere in life. Why? Because you can't see who you are. You're blinded. You're walking around like this. And see, religion tells you don't focus on who you are because that's humanism. No. That's spiritualism. See, if I'm intimate with God, then I can know my identity. And if I know my identity, I can know my assignment and my destiny. I give this example all the time. Do you know I will never get in the boxing ring with Evander Holyfield? Because I am not a boxer. But if I was a boxer, I would have confidence to get into the ring. Did somebody just catch what I said? See, your doing is a product of your who-ing. And your hooing is a product of your worship to God. Lord, have mercy. See, the devil is after your potential. See, your potential is your service. Genesis 2 and 15, the Bible says, God took the man that he formed out of the dust of the ground. He put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. See, when he put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it, I told you before, I thought dressing and keeping was rotated. But the toil didn't happen until after the fall of man. So he didn't put him in the garden to. The word dress and the word keep means to worship and to serve. So his responsibility was to sit in a heavenly place and hear from heaven and take what he heard in that heavenly place, go outside of the garden into the field where Satan was and rule and have dominion. Because God would have never told the man to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion if there was no opposition. So he put him in the place where he could hear from heaven, where he could fellowship with God. Come on, somebody say amen. Where he can worship God. And then he began to elevate his mindset. But then some misinformation crept in and caused him to change the way he should have been thinking. And then he fell. That's why we call it the fall of man. Glory to God. I got some good news. Ephesians 2 and 6 says, you and I were raised up together with him. You and I are in Christ, seated in heavenly places. So let me ask you something right here. If you got a throne, why we keep sitting on lawn chairs? See, this is lawn chairs represent defeat. It represents you and I not being able to accomplish our full potential. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It represents us not being and doing all that God has called us to be and to do. See, help your neighbor. I said, neighbor, I'm going to slap you if you keep coming to church. You are the church. Come on, say amen to this. See, that changes things. When we come to church, we hear the preacher preach and we go home and say he had a good message. But when we are the church, we come to get us uncovered. See, you know what I found out, church, and I'm going to end this up in a minute, but you know what I found out? I found out that worship and glorifying God were synonymous. I began to do a word study, and everywhere I saw worship, I noticed that when you defined it in the Hebrew or the Greek, both of them had the answer which meant glorify. Somebody say glorify. So when I worship God, it's not just me getting in his presence and saying, Lord, I love you so much, but my lifestyle is worship. See, the way I love my wife is worship. The way my wife loves me is worship. The way I treat my family is worship. Come on. The way I work at my job is what? Why? Because I'm glorifying God in everything that I do. See, you don't just glorify God on Wednesday and on Sunday. See, Wednesday and Sunday where you come and you get the remedy for whatever's going on outside there in that field. Wednesday and Sunday, baby, you in the Garden of Eden. Come on, somebody say amen. And we partaking of the heavenly fruit, amen? The leaves that are the healing for the nations. And then we take that thing outside these doors, and guess what? We bring that remedy and that antidote to somebody else that's hurting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So to worship God is also to glorify God. To worship God is to glorify God. Don't let's not get religious and think that glorifying God is doing something in church. To glorify God, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that when people see our good works, they will glorify God. See, when it's talking about glorify God, it's talking about what's happening with you as a person, what's happening with your productivity. Come on, somebody say amen. What's happening in your household? Those are the things that glorify God. See, everything that we do either glorifies God or it glorifies Satan. You're worshiping somebody. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. You ready? We just want to help you out. Let's give you a couple of scriptures. Amen. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Amen. I'm going to read the Amplified version, and then we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is the, well, we'll just read the King James. Somebody tell me the time because my watch is off. It's not working. It's just there for looks. What time is it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that. That's the Holy Ghost. I tell you, you're going to hurt somebody today. Amen. You know, this changed my life. And I don't like talk about me all the time, but you know why I can talk about me? Because I don't need to talk about nobody else. Listen, in the natural, I should not be here. Come on, somebody say, I should not be here. In the natural, I don't deserve to be here. Amen. When I get up here and I stand and I see social workers and business people and professionals listen to me speak, I think to myself, man, God got a sense of humor for real. He really does. You catching what I'm saying? I don't deserve it. But I learned something. Worship. When I didn't even know five Bible scriptures, I knew how to worship. Yes. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is what it says. It says, I beseech you, brethren. Our Bible class learned this morning at 9 o'clock that the word beseech is the Greek word peristemi, which means to come alongside of and beg. The Apostle Paul is begging them. I'm begging you by the mercies of God that you do this. Present your body. I want you to circle the word ye there. Ye present your body. You see it there? Ye. Circle that. Ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I'm not going to go to verse 2. But when he's talking about ye, he's talking about the real you on the inside. And for the sake of helping people, this right here is not you. This body is not you. That's why when we go to a funeral and we walk up there, we realize that the person that we knew was not there. The real them want to be with the Lord. Amen. The real you is a spirit made in the image and the likeness of God. He's telling you, the real you, to present your body. Your body is not you. Your body does not control you. Are you catching what I'm saying?
Yes.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
The real you should be controlling your body.
Yeah.
Amen.
The reason why our body controls us is because our soul is in the middle, the balance part that's out of order. Our mind, our motion, and our will is out of order. Our mind thinks the wrong things, amen. Our mind thinks the wrong things, amen.
Amen.
Our soul, our mind, our emotion, and our will. Our emotions are wounded because mama did this, daddy did this, mama didn't do this, daddy didn't do that. Spirits of rejection and hurt and anger and bitterness and fear, all that stuff is in us. Now when we get born again, now we got to try to sift the word through all that pain and through all that hurt. What this one done to me and what that one done to me. And then all of a sudden now, we're not just mad at us, we're mad at God and everybody else around us. We won't listen to nobody. You want to know why? Because we've been carrying that spirit of rejection our whole life. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And even if somebody who means well comes to you and wants to correct you, we mistake the correction for rejection. Therefore, we can't get no perfection.
Yes.
So the Apostle Paul is telling you, I beg you, present your body. Present your body. A living sacrifice. We gave you an example of a living sacrifice. Jesus was a living sacrifice. Abraham or Abram before he was Abraham. Well, he became Abraham at the time. He told in Genesis, he told him, he said, me and the boy is going to go up and we're going to worship. Amen. And we're going to come back down again. Amen. The reason why he could prophesy and say he was going to come back down again, because he knew that even if he was to kill his son, because he loved God so much, God loved him so much, his God would raise his son from the dead. So he was willing to sacrifice his son. Somebody say living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
Amen. See, it's a living sacrifice when you tell your body you going to church.
Amen.
You going to confess the word. You going to believe the word.
Yes.
You going to walk in love. That's a living sacrifice.
Yes.
You going to talk to people right.
Yes.
You going to start listening to people. Amen.
Yes.
You ain't going to just be running and flapping off at the mouth like you know everything. You going to start listening to people.
Yes.
Come on, somebody say amen. See, that's a living sacrifice. Let's look at what the Amplifier says. This is powerful. Somebody say worship. Amplified says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living intelligent service and spiritual worship. To live in this body and to glorify God with this body is worship. To make a dedicated, decisive decision to present this body and allow it to be used for the kingdom of God is worship. Come on, worship. Raise your hands. Worship is just not singing a song. Worship is surrendering your life to God and saying, God, I belong to you. Now, that's worship. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. That's worship. See, some of us got our lives so planned out with our little black books that we don't give God no time to even figure out what he wants from us. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
We got our whole life figured out and planned out. Listen, I heard a man of God who has over 100 churches, who has a 21,000 member church, Bishop Keith Butler. I heard him say, I don't make 5-year plans. Because he said, every time I did that, the Lord would redirect me. The Bible said a man can plan his way, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. That's why it's so important that you be a worshiper. Get up in the morning and worship. It blessed me. I called Minister Gerard the other day. I said, what you doing? He said, I'm in the glory. Well, I know what he's talking about. That means he in his prayer time. Him and his wife spending time in prayer, or he, whatever case. But you need to be a person of prayer. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because guess what? If you, watch this. If you can't worship God in that secret time, spending time with him, you cannot, absolutely, you will not hear from God. All of your decision making will be based upon what you see and hear out here. Wednesday we taught the church, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. God has prepared something for you. Something for you, something for you, something for you, something for me specifically. But the Spirit of God is the one who uncovers it. So if there's no intimacy with the Spirit of God, there is no uncovering of the divine things of God. See, God doesn't hide your potential from you. God hides your potential for you. It's hidden in the bosom of the Father. See, when you and I spend time in fellowship with him, guess what? He shows us. I asked my son-in-law, I said, you know what you're here to do yet? He says, no. I said, you know what you need to do? He said, yep, pray in tongues. Yep, exactly. That's what you need to do. You need to uncover some divine mysteries and secrets, because the truth, listen, the truth of the matter is, amen, if you don't have an intimate time with God, you will never know who you are. Ever. Ever. You'll spend your whole life spinning your wheels. Now, let me help you out. The Holy Ghost just put it up, you know, just like a pot boiling and then the water come out the top. He just pushed it up just right there. See, the world promotes success to the point so much that the world has already paved the way of success for you. You don't even have to really pay a price. Just go do whatever you want to do and you can be successful, whether it's good or whether it's bad. But in the mind of God, you're not successful unless you're a worshiper.
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't care how much success you have if you're not a worshiper. I'm not telling you to worship after the fact. I'm telling you to worship before you have anything. That's why God takes people and breaks them down to nothing before he uses them. He took Moses and made him clean up dookie with his father-in-law Jethro from sheep for 40 years. This man was 40 years in Egypt. If you study the history, he was a scholar. You better hear what I'm saying. Moses just wasn't walking around with a white skirt on and a sword in his hand. He was a scholar, a son of Pharaoh. You need to hear what I'm saying. He knew the ways of Pharaoh. And I don't want to scare you, but you know why he was able to hear God about the tabernacle? Because if you study Egyptian history, the tabernacle was made almost in the likeness of Egyptian history. Because Moses was there 40 years. So after those 40 years, Moses went into the wilderness. Why? Because 40 represents a generation. I'll be 40 February 4th. I told the devil, I said, every hold you had on me is broken. It's broken. Every generational curse is broken. See, God had to break that generational curse off of Moses, get him into a place of emptiness. That's why he always take great men of God to the wilderness. Out there with the birds, walk, 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 birds flying around and stuff. You ain't got no provision, no nothing. Why? Because the wilderness is the place where you find out who God is, the place where you find out who you are, and guess what? He gets you prepared to go over to the promised land. See, there's a promised land on the inside of every last one of us. But guess what? You got to go through the wilderness. My God. So to serve God properly, you got to serve him with your whole being, your body. You ready? 1 Corinthians 6, turn there. Here go another one. 1 Corinthians, y'all better stop. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we go. Tell your neighbor, say, to worship is to glorify. Here we go. Watch this. 14, God hath both raised us up. Raise up the Lord and also raise us up by his own power. Whose power? God's power. That's right. God's power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Now say that one time. Say, my body is a member of Christ. Man, that's powerful. That's revelation right there. If you realize that you and I, you're going to see here, we are the members of Christ. That's why he tells us to present our bodies. Because when we present our bodies for the service of the kingdom of God, we're glorifying God. When we allow our bodies just to do whatever we want them to do, amen, come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
God don't get no glory. Do you know the only way people, unbelievers, are going to see if God is real is through you and I? I'm going to say it again. The only way unbelievers are going to see if God is real is through you and I. I know somebody that told you some lying, spooky story that God just, you know, just going to show up and all that other stuff like that. Listen, now, God reveals himself because he revealed himself to me. I seen a ball of fire. I didn't see him. I saw a ball of fire. He revealed himself to me and delivered me from all kind of mess. Amen. I'm not taken away from that. Amen. What I am saying is this right here, is that the way God operates is God wants to change you and I so that the world could see how good he is to you and I. And then the world is going to say, man, if God is that good to them, I remember what they used to be. Now look at them now. I got to serve God. Because, you know, people are selfishly motivated anyhow. Amen. Praise God. Just take a $50 bill and drop about 10, 15-year-olds in a circle and just drop it in the middle and we'll see how loving people are. Everybody going to come out with lumps on their head because everybody going to jump on the ground trying to get it first. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He said, shall I then take the members of Christ, I'm reading it slow, and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Now you got to say it the way Paul is writing. What?
Yes.
He ain't saying what.
Come on.
See the question mark behind it? He's saying what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? He's saying, don't you know that when you join yourself to a harlot, you become one with that harlot? Watch this right here. For two saith, they shall be one flesh. But he, watch this. Now, I want you to circle this. Don't ever forget this scripture right here. Because we got people telling people God is way out here and you're down here. And this one day Jesus is going to come flying through the sky and you're going to be all right. Now, Jesus will, I do believe, in the imminent return of Christ. And he will return. But he's coming back for a glorious church. Worship and glory are synonymous. That means he's going to come back for a church who are rendering their lives to his service. Watch this right here. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Raise your hand if you're joined to the Lord. Come on, raise your hand. Then you are one spirit. You don't belong to you. You belong to him. And I'm going to confirm it right here. Look at this right here. Look at verse 19. Here go that word again. What? Know ye not that your what? Body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Now, say that by faith. Point at yourself and say, I don't belong to me.
I don't belong to me.
I belong to God.
I belong to God.
Now, let me ask you a question. Would you come up to my house, even though my keys are in my car, and just hop in my car, start my car up, and take my car, and drive it all over, pick up a few friends, and take them all out to the nightclub, and go sip on some scissor, and just do whatever you wanted? Would you do that in my car? Well, how much more is your body important than my car? You belong to God. Come on, say this. Say, I belong to God. Watch this. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Let's not even take the time to talk about the price. Because if I was to talk to you about those 6 hours that happened on the cross, it wouldn't be a dry in the building. He died of asphyxiation. He was beat down by 2,000 men at one time. They tossed him around, punched him, slapped him, blah, hit him, and then said, prophesy, tell us which one hit you. And we still live like we don't belong to him. We still get up in the morning. This is a good pastor talking here. You know, you can go somewhere else where everybody's going to sit around and tell you, oh, God loves you and God do this and God do that. And then you just go out there and live like a whoremonger, do whatever you want to do. Don't give no glory to God and come back to church with no reverence, no fear. That's why if you look in the spiritual realm, open your eyes up real good. Blink 7 times. Make it prophetic. Look at the top. The pastor's going to be standing up there and you're going to see Ichabod written right across the top of the thing because God ain't there. They're there, but God ain't there. Now, that's the truth. The Bible says, speak the truth in love that we may grow up. God don't want you staying stuck down here on planet Earth, still bound to this, bound to that, bound to this, bound to that. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm not coming down on nobody, but God wants you to have the victory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What you are doing should glorify him. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's make a challenge right here. To worship is to glorify. John chapter 15. Jesus talks about us abiding in the vine. He is the vine. He said, this is how you do it. He said, I am the word and you are the branches. He said, you abide in my word and my word abide in you and you'll bring forth much fruit. Ain't that what he said? You'll bring it forth. See, the key is that he wants us to bring forth fruit. Then you get down to verse 8. He said, this is how my Father is glorified. When you bring forth fruit. What is he talking about? When your life becomes a reflection of the sum total of all that God is in you, to you, and through you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants to affect more than just your prayer life. God wants to affect more than just your coming to church. We're kingdom people. God wants you to catch this thing here. And when you go home and you're in your own secret time, man, he's putting novels in somebody's heart. He's putting businesses in somebody's heart. Some people are called to the fivefold ministry. In this ministry, somebody may be called to do what Wigglesworth did. I don't know. That's between you and your Father. But guess what? My job is to help you uncover you by exposing you to the truth. Amen? Amen. My time is up, and I thank you for yours. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.